Everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWit Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Drew, and with me, as always, are my co-host, Devin.
Did you guys hear?
Hear what?
There's a frost advisory for Philadelphia.
And Ryan.
So, do you know Nelson Agholor is the worst wide receiver in the NFL?
I do.
I did know that.
And the solution to that is that they're just going to work harder.
Well, you know, there's no difference between 2017 Nelson and 2019 Nelson, according to his offensive coordinator.
True. Like I said, they're just going to work harder. That's the solution.
That's it. They're going to work harder this week than they did last week.
Just not enough effort. You know what they need to do? They got to get pucks in deep, them Eagles.
That's not the same sport.
Did you see, who was it? Petrie on Montreal, like, humped a goal in?
Yeah.
he
got that puck in real deep.
There's a tweet that said, fucks on net.
Oh, my God. Ugh.
You know, Dev, I'd like to talk about the weather for a second, brought it up. About that
it's very
frost
chilly
advisory.
Outside.
Yeah, Morgan Frost got called up. Way to just ruin the whole flow of the dock that we just fixed.
I was going to say, you just went out of order.
It's not my fault that Dev went, there's a frost advisory, and I'm like, well, I can't
you did
just
not,
glance
you
over
You could
it.
Have just lit that bin foreshadowing for later in the pod.
Come on, Drew, you kill it up.
Here's what's going to happen, all right? Ryan, fix the dock again. Let's keep talking
about
Morgan
Oh, my
frost.
God.
We really had to fix the dock. It's just
I'm
one
doing
ball
it.
Says frost.
Anyways, Morgan Frost got called up today. Yesterday. I don't
he
know.
He sounds like a supervillain in a children's movie.
Morgan Frost is the best supervillain. He's the one who turns out to be the good guy at the end.
He's the guy who stole Christmas and then felt bad about it and then brought Christmas back.
Right.
You know what? No, I want him to be a bad guy. I'm tired of trying to make home teams the good guys. I want the Flyers to be bad. And be
the
bad guy. The
Flyers are
win.
Supposed to be the villains. That's why we need a
yeah, right?
to beat everyone up. That's the Flyers are the villains, but
we've been really bad at it.
We just stopped. We're like the villains in a really cheesy movie that don't even get like a sniff at winning.
Guys, I don't think you guys understand what's happening here. They are the villains, but they're no longer the villains towards other hockey teams. They're the villains towards their fans.
Is that what it is?
They
those are really good at it.
They were Darth Vader, and they turned into Kylo Ren.
That's pretty good.
That's 100% accurate. And
what was that lizard thing that I always forget his name and everyone hates?
Lizard? You mean Couturier?
No. Goddamn. Misa.
Yeah. Oh, Jar Jar Binks.
Jar Jar Binks.
Now they're Jar Jar Binks.
They're just Jar Jar. I'm pretty sure the Senators are Jar Jar Binks.
Okay. All right.
It just,
that's fair.
Well, no, because nobody hates the Senators. They just kind of feel bad.
But they
for
do.
Them.
Everybody hates the Senators, but not because they're evil, because they're just stupid and bad.
I kind of just feel bad for them, to be honest with you.
I feel bad for their fans. Let's be fair. They did this to themselves, the organization.
I mean,
all right.
The
we're
Flyers
off topic
used
here.
To be the. So, the original Star Wars movies, but now they're the prequels.
No, because I like the prequels, like, ironically. Like, they're fun to watch.
You like the racing?
Yeah, because it's funny. Like,
it's
like, it's like
the plot, but yeah.
Did you ever see The Room? It's like a really horrible, bad movie, but it's so bad that it's good. That's how I watch the prequels.
Oh, hi.
That's how I watch Fast and Furious.
That's fair. I can't watch Fast and Furious that way, but I can see.
I have a question. How does all this relate to Morgan Frost being called up?
Oh, yeah.
Because he's Darth Vader or something.
Anyways, Morgan Frost got called up. That's a great thing. I'm happy to see it. At least they're bringing up the kids.
Well,
hopefully,
on topic question. What are your expectations for him?
Well,
I know first game. I don't know.
3,000 points in the first season.
I think I saw that he's centering the second line with Giroux and Konechny.
Top line.
Second.
They don't number their lines, guys.
The Couturier line is line one. We all know that.
Right.
I love how all the beat writers write the Couturier line is like the third or fourth line. just so they can follow that we don't number lines narrative, but it's like, that's really the first
line. That's line one. Yeah, so anyway, he's centering a line with Jeru and connecting, so like, that's pretty cool. I'm excited to see that.
I like how they're putting young guys in positions to succeed. Like, I feel like if this were last year, and, well, first of all, Morgan Frost wouldn't even have been called up if we still had Dave Haxtell, but he would have been like a fourth-line winger. Just be like, go carry a line yourself and show us what you got.
In 3 minutes of ice time.
Yeah.
I mean, by the time anyone listens to us, the game would have been played, so.
Correct.
You tell us how he does.
Well,
so we could get some predictions here.
All right. What does he do tonight?
I can't believe Morgan Frost has scored a hat trick. Oh my god!
All right, that's aggressive. That's. You know what, Dev? If you're right, I will buy you a Popeye's chicken sandwich.
If he scores a hat trick.
All right, Dev. Wait, right, can you buy me one too?
No.
I never had one. I just don't really have the energy to wait in line at a sub-rate.
I don't know, every single time I've gone to Popeyes, I've been in and out and gotten eggs.
Well, recently, I went after Saturday when we played hockey. It was in and out.
I haven't even seen a Popeyes, to be honest with you, but everywhere I go, there's a Chick-fil-A, so that's why
Chick-fil-A is much more accessible.
And I go in, and they treat me very nice, and they make me feel good about myself. They say, how are you doing, sir? I'm like, oh, thank you. And then they're like, here's your delicious chicken sandwich. And I'm like, I didn't even order it yet. And they say, we know what you're going to get. And then I say, here's some Chick-fil-A sauce and some cheese sauce for your waffle fries. I'm like, oh my god, thanks. And then I leave.
Guys.
And I'm just happy and delicious chicken, and Morgan Frost is going to do great tonight.
Guys, I'm getting really hungry. Can we not? I don't know why I brought it up, but this is my own fault. But now
I'm going to temper my expectations for Frost tonight. I'm going to say he plays well. No points, but he does well.
I gotta temper my expectations. He's gotta have, 3 points instead of.
It'll be a goal, two assists.
You know, I don't know. I think he's gonna. He's gonna make an impact. He's scoring a goal.
You think? I'd be happy with that.
Is he gonna get any special teams time?
I think they were testing him out on the power play a little bit, but they were like rotating him with Voracek. So I guess if they get a power play and a couple power plays and it doesn't look like the power play's doing anything, then they'll rotate him in there.
When did they bench in Voracek? How many more games?
Three.
You think in 3 games, if he still sucks, he gets benched?
Yeah.
I like the withdrawal from the bank comment AV made. I don't think it'll be three.
He loves the money in the bank, analogy, and I think it's – I love it.
I think
it.
It's great.
He keeps saying it, yeah.
It's a good analogy. I can follow it.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's 3 games. I think it would take at least, another 10 games of inconsistent Voracek play before AV was like, all right.
I think I have more along with Kush than Drew. I think closer to 10 than 3. I don't know, but maybe never, but makes a lot of money.
Yes.
Then again, Corey Schneider was just on the waivers, so.
True. Guys, I have remember last pod when we were talking about we were talking about how the Flyers were fun?
Yes.
And they were winning shootouts and it was cool. What happened?
They're still fun, just not in the third period.
Oh. Right.
They're really fun in periods two.
One, two.
I think the fun has been super inconsistent, which matches up with the Flyers perfectly.
I feel like we are on the verge of being a top team in the Eastern Conference.
That was probably unrealistic of us. We were a little high on the victories over good teams, but now it looks like Toronto isn't really that good, right? They're struggling.
Dave Haxtell.
But I would say that from last pod to this pod, my expectations haven't changed. Like, hockey seasons are long, and the Flyers have a really tough schedule right now. I think they're going to be competing for the third spot in the Metro all season. So they lost a few games in a row in overtime and shootouts, but that's just going to happen. But next week when we record, they might have won 4 in a row.
I think I don't want to make this an excuse, but I think there's you know, 20 games in, you have a brand new head or head coach, you know, for your team. You're not going to have the system down pat 20 games in with a new coach. And I think they
missing AV, your, one of your better centers.
Yeah, and I think AV even said that the year that he would coach the Rangers to the Stanley Cup Finals, they were really inconsistent until about December. And then after December is really when they started to figure things out. And I think that's probably the same case. I mean, that's the same case for the Flyers every year anyway. This year, if they've just been better, still inconsistent, but better. And I think once they hit January or, you know, maybe even December, they figure things out and they become a more consistent team.
The Giroux, Voracek, Couturier Flyers really hit their stride in January and February every year, it seems like. So I think I mentioned this before, the difference between the Flyers making and missing the playoffs have always been how bad was their October through December. Was it very bad? They missed the playoffs. Was it just kind of bad? Then they make it. So if they can just get through December at, like, the current clip that they're on, I feel pretty confident. Because they always good hot, and they, like, they'll win a bunch of games. They'll go, like, 8-2 in 10 games. But all it's doing is getting them back into the hunt. But if they're already in the hunt when they do that, then it's going to solidify their playoff spot.
Yeah, I feel more comfortable about where they are this year right now than where they were the past couple years. I mean, obviously, it's a long season. That could change. But the Flyers tend to do better in the second half of the year, typically.
But why can't we just do good the entire year?
Because
no team does that.
Okay, this is, yeah, well, they do.
Not really.
Not really.
Lightning did last year.
Yeah, until
and
the
they
playoffs.
Had a historic season. Like they that was We're that's rare. That's an outlier.
Regular season.
Yeah, but that was again what Dev's well that's what Dev said. Like it's a historical outlier season. You can't base that you can't go like, oh, the Flyers
7 years in a row.
Dude,
no, they had rough patches. They never like won 60 games. They would win 50. Which means they had 30 games that where they lost. And a lot of times those were clumped together in 5-game stretches where they would lose 3 out of 5. So it happens to all teams.
And
you can't react like on 3-game chunks. Like after 10, if the Flyers go like 2-7 and 10, then yeah, you could be like, that's bad. You can't do that. But I think when you just the seasons, they're right now they're injured. They don't have a lot of depth. They're relying on calling up guys from the AHL, and they're still holding down a playoff spot, and they're only like a point off the Metro lead.
And you have to
top three, not the lead.
And you really kind of have to temper your expectations too. Like you can't like go out and say that the Flyers should be as consistent as the Lightning last year or the Capitals for the past 7 years, because it's still not a complete finished team. Like we expect this team to make the playoffs and hopefully get further than one round, but I don't think by any means this team is a finished product just yet.
My hopes and expectations are just getting into the playoffs, and then from there I can daydream about a cup, right?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't really matter, honestly. Like it happens every year in hockey. It you can't really predict what bad team is going to go on a run in the playoffs, but every year it happens. Like, nobody had expectations for St. Louis last year, right?
No one important.
Even Drew didn't have expectations for St. Louis when they were in last place, right? So
no, I stuck by them.
Yeah, I don't think you did. We'll have to look at the tapes. But
I'm actually gonna agree with Drew. He did stick by them.
I think most people's expectations were they ruined their season. And they're going to miss the playoffs now. When Ottawa went on that run and they went into the conference finals against Pittsburgh and lost in game 7, like they were pretty much the same terrible team they are now, then just with Erik Karlsson.
I think it's just getting into the playoffs, really.
2010, the Flyers, like they barely made it into the playoffs and they made it to the finals. So, like, just get in and then we can have fun. But they're not going to be. You can have fun. This is how you do it. Last game, I was watching the Flyers, and they were up 3-0 against the Islanders, and they blew the lead in the third period and lost, right?
Yeah.
I just said, and moved on. But when they beat Toronto and Boston. I was like, hell yeah, this is great. So you just gotta like ignore the losses, and then you have tons of fun.
Well, if you ignore the losses, then bad things happen.
Look, I've been ignoring the losses for years, Dev, and I haven't been.
But there was no fun. Wins to get excited about.
Oh no.
So, like the Flyers, honestly, they're still a flawed roster, and unless, like, short of Frost coming in and being what Nolan Patrick was supposed to be, or Nolan Patrick coming back healthy, like, they're going to struggle to stay consistent, probably. But they, like, clearly they are a better team than last year, and when everything goes right, they can be a really fun team, and they can dominate games, and Hart can steal games. So, like, yeah. This team is still fun, in my opinion, just not very fun.
I think look, they still have to figure things out, obviously.
Yeah.
I think that's what it comes down to. But I think, like I said, they're in a much better spot than they were last year. And I think if the same trend continues where they get better, you know, after November and into December and kind of push off from there, they could really become, you know, a decent team in the Metro.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put a definite spot where they finish, but, you know, I mean, sure. I think that's realistic, I guess. As realistic as any other.
I think they could finish above Pittsburgh now that Crosby's out for 6 weeks. Like,
but you say that, but I also believe in magic, and Pittsburgh is definitely under some type of immunity spell.
It's true. I mean, but wait, before we move on.
Can I ever talk?
No. We don't want you to talk. But just kind of just – JVR and Kevin Hayes are doing very great things and just are not scoring too. So presumably that's eventually going to swing the other way, and they're going to get some puck luck, and they're going to start actually getting pucks in the net. And they're creating lots of chances. So I think we just need to calm down a little bit, Drew.
I just wish I could do the segues into talking about Kevin Hayes and JVR, but I can't. So
is Dev not allowed to do them?
Was that on the dock?
It's my
only
job.
Was that on the dock?
Yes.
It is actually on the dock. Both Kevin Hayes and JVR are on the dock.
I didn't read it.
Specifically.
This is why we can't have nice things. Yeah, so Kevin Hayes is doing great
things.
Well,
just edit that out. Just edit out.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Flyers,
that was me rewinding.
I was wrong. The Flyers are fun. I don't know anymore. I'm kind of just.
All right, Kevin Hayes.
Anyways, Kevin Hayes. I'll serious up for you for a second. Kevin Hayes, 10-game pointless streak. It's a little bit rough, offensively. But you know, he's not a detriment to the team, so that's good.
I mean, yeah. Right now, I guess when a player's not putting up points, you hope that he's not a complete defensive liability, and Kevin Hayes has been he's been fine. He's been good. He's a great penalty killer. That's where he really shines. But eventually, how much is too much before you're like, I mean, I feel like 10 games is already too much where you just want him to put up some points.
Who's he been playing with?
I know it's been weird. I know they had him with JVR at one point, and
it's been a steady diet of JVR and Voracek, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, which I know that's
two players who are also not scoring. So, like, for a center, they get more assists and goals usually, but when your wingers can't score, then you're not going to get an assist. So, I mean, that has a lot to do with
it. But he hasn't exclusively played with them over the 10-game pointless streak. Like, they're, I think,
no,
especially at first, he was playing, I think he had, I want to say he even played with Giroux at one point, but I know Giroux hasn't been exactly on fire.
I don't know,
either.
Because Giroux's been centering his own line.
He, for a little bit, yeah. But so, I think there was at one point where they were on the same line. I have to look back at that, though. But
yeah,
I know it hasn't been
exclusive. AV's been juggling a lot, so it's kind of hard to.
Well, I mean, understandably, too, because they've been really inconsistent, so you have to try and find something that'll click.
But
outside
just
of the
like,
jersey line.
Without looking at stats, because I don't look at the stats all the time, like Hayes seems fine to me. He seems like he's making a lot of chances. They're just not resulting in goals. So, and the same thing with JVR.
Well, JVR, I actually looked into that, and he's super low shooting percentage. He gets like 11 to 12 shots per 60 minutes. Based on the expected goals model, he should have like 8 or 9 goals, and he only has 4. So he's definitely doing what he's supposed to, but the pucks, they're not, you know, they're not going in.
So like I know, I feel like people, when they shooting percentage, to me it was always kind of weird. Like when a guy has a low shooting percentage, we just expect it to go up. But it does make sense because it's just.
Well, yeah, I mean,
when you look at small samples, like this guy has a historic shooting percentage of, you know, 10%, and he's shooting at 2%. It's not like he just forgot how to shoot all of a sudden. It's just bad luck, really. So yeah.
That's where he is at now. And really and this is just, I don't really like to cite overall point paces, like, but I think like Kevin Hayes is, end of or 82 game pace is like 29 points right now. It's not ideal, but I don't know. I feel like my optimistic take for Kevin Hayes was 60 points, but I think even if he ends up at around between 45 and 55, I think that's acceptable.
Well, the thing with like it's only 20 games in, right? So like it doesn't take, if Kevin Hayes goes out there and has a stretch of games, you know, 5 games where he puts up 7 or 8 points, it's going to, like, dramatically
change. Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's exactly why I don't like really to cite season point paces. I just think, yeah, like
unless
you said.
Unless it's
like
the first or second game of the season, and you're saying that, you know, guys are going to have a 400-point season.
Listen, man, if you're on, like, pace for, like, 127 points by the first game, you're doing it right.
Yeah. Well, usually that's McDavid, and he usually does finish with that, so.
Well, yeah. All right, here's what I wanted to see. I'm slowly finding miss by post. I'm, like, surprised that JVR hasn't hit the post 17 times. Because it feels like he has.
I mean, he's, like I said, he's getting a.
Is that a tracked stat?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. That sounds like an advanced stat, Drew.
It's not. It's not advanced. James Van Riemsdyk has hit 2 posts, and he's missed.
Where do you get that information?
NHL.com.
Oh, of course they would track it.
Shots by type. Come on now. But yeah, I don't know how.
Not a shot though. Like technically, it doesn't count as a shot on net if it hits the post.
Yeah, it's not even
a
shot.
It's a shot. It's just.
I guess it's a shot attempt.
Yeah,
it's a shot attempt. Yeah.
Don't listen. There's no percentages by it. It's just
interesting.
I mean, he's gotten a lot of chances.
How many posts has Farabee hit?
Most posts, Joel Farabee's hit 1.
Can we get a stat on how many goals Farabee has had overturned because of all sides?
No, that is not a stat that they will track.
But I've liked the play from the veterans. I just wish it ended up in more points right now. I think that'll come. And I like how AV also calls out his veteran players. You know, he had that money in the bank comment, which I liked.
We need to get shirts.
Yeah.
Like AV with like the WWE, like, money chest.
Money in the bank.
Yeah.
Come on.
But yeah, it's not like their play has been terrible. It's just been it's been fine. They just need to produce more. You know, they should be their top point producers, these veteran forwards. And they've been playing fine. They just hasn't been resulting in any points. And I can see why that gets frustrating.
Drew, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Why is Hayes and JVR on the dock?
Why? Because they're not playing well?
How come Voracek wasn't included in that?
Because he's not playing well overall. See, the thing about JVR is, like, he's getting shots towards, like, he's getting, like, opportunities. He's just got bad puck luck.
Okay.
Right? Kevin Hayes is playing well defensively. He's just, you know, not getting the puck in the back of the net. Jake Voracek, get him out of here.
He's very inconsistent.
When was the last time Jake Voracek was good?
If you give me a second.
For a full season, because it's very odd because Jake Voracek can be very good on any given night, but then he could also be very bad on any given night.
He had 85 points in 2017-2018.
Is that when Giroux had 100?
Yeah.
But again, Voracek gets his points in spurts. Like, he's very inconsistent. Or Voracek he'll get...
had 66 points last year. Three years ago, he had 61.
Right.
And then 55.
He just feels terrible right now.
He just feels... He's felt terrible to me for a while. And I like Voracek, but at the same time, kind of over him. And it's kind of like a situation where it's like, I don't hate you, but I just don't love you anymore. And honestly, I kind of just want to see you go. So maybe you can do well elsewhere, just not to a competitor.
Would you trade Voracek and Farabee for Johnny Gaudreau?
No, I would not trade Joel Farabee.
I would. Not because I don't like Joel Farabee. I love Joel Farabee, I hope he turns into a player close to what Johnny Gaudreau is worth.
Yeah, but...
Or we could just get Johnny Gaudreau. But realistically, and Calgary's not going to want a washed-up winger.
Are you sure? Because they did trade for Milan Lucic.
True.
I think they love washed-up wingers.
I guess you got me there. I guess if anybody was going to take Voracek for a superstar player, it'd be Calgary.
How many goals does James Neal have now?
Like 12.
A lot. But yeah, so let's just get him out of here. What if we did this? All right.
No.
Oh. What if we did Voracek and Gostisbehere?
Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Easily. But again, I mean...
I don't know if they're going to take a struggling defenseman.
And a washed-up winger.
I mean, they did trade away Dougie Hamilton. Like, I don't know if that's like...
I don't know. Maybe Calgary is... Because I was thinking about this on the car ride home. You could probably
trade Hag.
I really put some thought into this, and I'm like, there's no way they're going to want like an old winger and like a third... inconsistent third pair defenseman. Like, realistically, they'd want to go after like young guys who are good, who can provide value in the long term and aren't getting paid a lot right now, like Farabee, like Sanheim. Hell, they might even ask for Provorov. I think
in order to get Johnny Gaudreau, Calgary is not even considering an offer that doesn't include a prospect type like Farabee. Like a guy ready to play in the NHL now.
Hear me out.
But.
Hear me out!
Don't hear me out, Coach.
Go ahead, Drew.
And Phil Myers. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. That's it.
I mean, I would do that, but no, they're not going to
have Phil Myers and Voracek.
Yeah, Phil Myers.
I feel like Phil Myers doesn't have great trade value because he was undrafted and he hasn't, like... tactic. Like, I know we've watched him and gone like, oh, he's great.
Well,
but like I don't think until he has like a couple seasons, like he's always gonna have that undrafted tag to him, you know? And I think that matters. Like, draft capital matters. If he was a first round pick, then like I feel like, yeah, you could totally trade him for Johnny Gaudreau and Calgary would take it. But Calgary's probably worried, like, I think actually, if I remember correctly, Calgary was the other team that invited Myers to their training.
Yeah, they were, and they cut him.
Yeah, and they cut him.
So they're not going to take him.
But I get what you're saying. Like, it's going to take either some first round draft picks plus a guy. Like, they're trying to compete. So I feel like Voracek has a lot of trade value. Teams value veteran experience.
Yeah,
and
But they also value consistency, and I think they don't look at Voracek with that. I don't know, maybe a change of scenery thing.
Several seasons of 60 points and a season.
Yeah, but for Johnny Gaudreau, who's got a season of close to – if did he hit 100 points or was it 99 or something? Whatever, he's got like a 100-point season. I don't know.
How much are they paying him? Is that the problem that they're paying him?
No, they're paying him like $6.5 million.
Why are they trying to trade him?
Hold on. Oh, that's the next point I wanted to address. I don't think that this came from any reliable, like, I don't think this came from a source inside the information, like they're trying to shop Johnny Gaudreau. The only thing that I saw was the article from The Athletic stating why they shouldn't hold on to him for too long, like they made the mistake with Iginla. Only it's way different because Johnny Gaudreau is like 26 and not in his 30s. And he just came off of a 100-point system.
99.
I but whatever. I saw that article and read it, and it felt, and which is weird because I usually like the articles from The Athletic, but it's like the first article I read, and it felt like it was from like a Flyers beat writer.
Like it probably was from a beat writer. There are beat writers.
In The Athletic, but like you know how notoriously you know how notoriously bad the Flyers beat writers are. Like so it just felt like an article from one of those guys, like Sam Carcitti or something.
Yep.
I can't actually read the article because I don't subscribe to The Athletic.
It basically didn't cite any like there was no, and I haven't seen anything from any of the verified guys on Twitter saying that there was any rumblings rumors out of Calgary saying that they want to trade him. It was just literally that one article that I read, and it was making the point that they shouldn't hold on to him for too long. But I honestly just think they're hitting the panic button. I mean, Calgary's underperformed, but it's not like they're terrible. They're still like a dangerous team, and while Johnny Gaudreau isn't on pace to match the 99 points he put up last season, he's still close to a point per game, and it's 20 games into the season. I mean, I think that whole situation, everybody's just freaking out, and it's very premature. It just seems a little ridiculous.
It is, but you
know, American Thanksgiving is coming up quickly, guys, and you know what they say about American Thanksgiving.
What do they say?
Whoever's in the playoffs by American Thanksgiving will make the playoffs.
Oh yeah, I have heard that, but
yeah,
that
worked so well last
year.
Yeah,
right.
Stanley Cup. Anyways, real quick before we move on, because I still have that like shot stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Hägg had 10 shots, and 7 of them missed the net. So.
Well, in Hägg's defense, he's shooting from very far away.
He is not great, but yeah, he's shooting from the point. So
Provorov has 37 shots, and 9 of them have missed, and 1 of them,
That's because Provorov is good,
and he's on the power play, so he's getting those shots with less guys in front.
No! These aren't block shots; these are missed shots, missed the net completely.
What about Ghost?
Ghost has 35 shots, and he has missed 10. I'm sorry, 12.
That seems oddly low.
34 and missed 10.
Although I can't say I've looked at Ghost shooting this season, and you know, I can't say that I thought he's missed the net a ton. I mean, he's definitely missed the net, but it just hasn't felt like last year where every shot seemed to miss the net. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm defending Robert Hägg, because I'm definitely not. I'm just thinking there's so many more other things you can nick that guy for than shots on net. Or shots not on
it. Speaking of Robert Hägg, as an aside, I'm late on this, but I don't know. Do you guys ever listen to 31 Thoughts?
Nope.
I don't listen to it, but I like read the.
Well, they have a podcast, and yeah. They had Sean Couturier on like a couple weeks ago, and they asked him like, "Who on your team is really underrated that no one talks about?" And guess who he said.
Well, I'm assuming it's going to be Robert Hägg.
Yeah, I was like, oh, my gosh.
I put two together there, two there, and I was able to figure it out. Gostisbehere took 164 shots and missed the net 59 times.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds about right.
four of those are post shots, though. That's counted.
That sounds about right.
All right, we should move on.
Yeah,
I would make the segue, but Drew gets
mad at you.
You're running this now. Part of the thing about the Flyers and them not being fun is they're not winning in the shootout anymore after they won 2 in a row. And it's not because it's bad. So how do we fix OT, guys? That's such a terrible segue.
I feel like we talked about this last week.
I would have done a much better job.
Didn't we
hit on this last week, kind of?
Kind of, but I want to expand on it because I have some new thoughts.
All right, what's your new thought, Drew?
So my new thoughts, obviously, is get rid of shootouts, which we've talked about. Make overtime longer, which we've talked about. But something I saw on Twitter, and I like this idea, and it's to make a regulation win worth 3 points, and an overtime win still the same. 2 points for a win, and an overtime loss worth 1. Right, so it makes a tie game late in the third worth pushing for a win, and then it kind of makes games like meaningful. And I guess you can still keep
the shootout. This is the first time you've ever seen that.
Yeah.
Really?
I feel like this has been suggested a lot.
This is, I've been, we've, I think we've all been pounding this drum for a very long
time. I don't know if I necessarily would.
Where's this drum and why haven't I been invited to pound
it? I don't know. You just said that.
I don't know if I necessarily would want.
What kind of group of people do you get around and just bang drums with and not invite me?
Well, the get rid of the loser point system people. You either make a regulation win 3 points or you get rid of the loser point. They both had the same effect, but the NHL is apparently a bunch of millennials and they need their participation trophy, so they need their loser point to feel good about themselves.
Dev, you're technically a millennial.
I know. If you but if you just made it so, like, if you lose in overtime, you get no credit. It's the same thing. Like, if you would stop playing for overtime because there's no reward for losing in overtime. You just gotta stop rewarding the overtime loss. Is what you have to do, and then you get rid of the
or penalize the overtime win by making yeah.
But they're both doing the same exact thing. It's just different.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen this point a bunch of different times, but I don't know if I'd want to make like. Bring a three-point system in to the NHL. I don't know how much. I don't know. I feel like, and I usually advocate for chaos, but I feel like that would cause. I don't know. I feel like there'd be a lot of it.
Well, here's the problem.
The point system would be very skewed.
The point systems right now is stupid, right? Fair. How many points is a game worth?
2.
No.
If you go to overtime, it's 3.
Sometimes it's worth 3. So, like, that's really stupid, and no other league does that. No other sports league in the world does what the NHL does, which is change the value of certain games based upon whether they go to overtime. In baseball, it's a win or a loss. In basketball, it's a win or a loss. You know, like, in every other sport, it's win or losses, except for soccer. They do point systems, I think, some leagues. But they count a regulation win as 3 points, so...
And
it's just
draw is 1, I believe.
Or 2. Yeah, I mean, if we're going based off of other leagues and it works in other leagues, like, you know, you cite soccer, that the 3-point system works. Sure, I mean, I guess that's a solution. I agree that the system they have in place right now is not good. So I guess that would be the next logical move.
Well, it is good if you know what they're trying to do. And what they're trying to do is to artificially keep every team in the playoff race. So from the NHL's eyes, they love this system because if you're in the playoff race, you can sell tickets. So it's artificially propping up bad teams and artificially holding down. Like, it's all, the NHL knows this. They're doing it on purpose.
I have a way to make OT chaos. All right, we get rid of shootouts, right? Okay, we get rid of shootouts. Bring back 4-on-4, but hear me out.
Whoa.
And hear me out. You do it like roller hockey, no offsides.
I mean, okay, I'm liking that.
Right. Yeah.
Right. You had me at no offsides.
Yeah. Every single penalty is a penalty shot.
Now we're getting somewhere, Drew.
Oh, we're getting that's yeah.
I'm gonna keep your situation and then subtract a player. Keep it 3-on-3.
Second puck. No.
Too much chaos, Steph. We've crossed the line. We reel that back.
In all seriousness, I got it. You release this little tiny ball thing that flies around while you're playing the game.
That's Quidditch. Although, okay, wait.
Quidditch has the... While we're on the topic, Quidditch has the dumbest rules ever.
That's fine.
Like, we're thinking the NHL is bad, all right? Quidditch literally ends by somebody catching a ball, and that determines the end of the game.
Well, there's rings.
You can win
by but they don't even matter.
They don't matter. That's true. But the ball is very hard to catch. It's magic.
Listen. I have a way to play on the snitch thing, okay? A little drone flies around, right? And if you shoot the puck at it and you knock the drone out of it, you win.
But if you miss and it goes out of play, it's
penalty.
A penalty.
And a penalty shot.
Which is a penalty shot.
Boom! That's it. We fixed it.
I got it.
OVT.
You put a basketball hoop over the nets.
Okay.
So you can't goaltend a basketball hoop.
Right.
And everybody takes off their skates and puts on shoes.
That's like basketball. The goalies just sit there and don't do anything.
All right. I have a better idea. All right. So say they don't want to get rid of, like, they don't want to continue as OT, right? So at the end of the 5, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever, instead of going to a shootout, the goalies race around the rink, whoever gets their first win.
I was not paying attention for any of that.
That was great. I said
what I missed, Dev.
That's hilarious.
Wow, that fell flat. So, what I was saying was that instead of a shootout at the end of the OT period, you have the goalies race.
I didn't, Dev. Can you explain this to me? No, it's not registered.
All right.
All right. Fantasy week in review. We're moving on.
All right, Dev. I think I've caused enough chaos. Why don't you reel us back in with the fantasy week in review?
Fantasy week in review. Let me pull up the document.
Oh my god, do you need me to do this for you?
Okay. No, I got it. All right, fantasy week in review. Please play the drop.
Okay.
All right, that was great. Beautiful. All right, our winner of the week, drum roll, please. Joe, close post nippers.
Not a surprise.
I did not write down how many points he scored.
Oh, God. You could have told me that. I could have been
I just realized it now.
Okay.
But he scored more than everyone else.
He did.
A lot more. And he's just killing it. He just keeps quietly being the best team in the league.
So many points. Keep talking.
pretty sure Joe, if Joe doesn't win our league, something went terribly wrong.
Can we make bets on that?
Sure.
Yeah. What do you want to make?
We should make odds. Call Vegas.
Oh, he had 168 points.
0.6 points, specifically.
0.6. Okay, if we want to get specific, yes, 168.6.
And Team Spit and Chicklets came in second with 157 points.
Woo! Good job. All right.
Did we do second? We didn't do second last week.
I don't know why Drew did that.
I just wanted to like prove that I did get there and had the points in front of me.
Last week I got yelled at for doing a second place.
Yeah, well, you told everyone you were in first place. That's why you got yelled at.
In my mind, I was in first. Like, in my mind, we're all winners. All right.
I was like, no, you're not. All right. Loser of the week.
The sucky suck loser of the week.
Is. Womp, womp, womp. It's Pauly.
You did the drop before. Just to go, it's Pauly, and then I go,
womp, 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 or bus.
Do you want his point total?
Yeah,
98.5.
Yep, he's the only one who did not crack 100 points.
Man, yeah, he said he wasn't gonna listen this week because he came in.
He really should listen because he's gonna come up again. So, top fantasy players.
Yeah.
Very surprising.
I'm
shocked. Connor McDavid, number one.
31.2 points.
It's cheating, Drew.
Pretty good.
I actually didn't lose to you by that much, considering you had him.
I mean, he had one game of 20 points.
I know, and I still kept it close.
You did. You still lost, though.
I know.
Yeah.
Shocking again. Second best player, Leon Draisaitl.
Yeah.
Wonder why.
Yeah, he had 27.5 points.
He did
and then, arguably, the second best player in the league came in the third, McKinnon.
Is it arguably anymore? I just feel like it's McDavid
sure
and McKinnon.
I'm pretty sure he's the second best player in the league. But
that's not me dissing on Crosby either, but...
Crosby's old.
I mean, he's getting old, you know? Like, that happens, like...
Crosby was
Robot Dev.
Was the best player in the league.
Crosby
zero,
was the best
zero,
player
zero,
in the
zero,
league.
0-0-1.
Start his firmware back up. Maybe he'll start not speaking in, yes, in computer.
Am I back?
Yes, you are.
Okay. Where was I?
Crosby was the best player, but not anymore.
Okay, moving
sums
on.
It up.
So, I couldn't decide who had the best pickup this week because, technically speaking, Drew picked up the guy who then scored the most points for him after picking up But he did it all in one game.
Yeah.
So, hey, in my mind,
actually,
you picked him up. You picked him up, Peugeot. Right? Wait, yeah, what were you going to say? Yeah. Actually, what?
I said that
would be the reason why I won.
Yeah, because you won by 11 points. Yeah, pretty much 11 points. Close to it, at least.
Yeah.
But you continued to play him, did you not?
I mean, I feel like he did nothing.
So, like.
But that 11 points, had I not picked him up like I said I was doing, I wouldn't have won. I would have literally have lost by 0.3 points.
But then, because he had that 11 points, you felt like the need to keep playing him, and he did nothing after that.
Okay,
so,
but the position,
I feel like that hurts
the position
you
that he took up actually didn't hurt me, because the other guys that would have played in center also sucked. It would have been me playing a left wing for a different left wing that would have changed that outcome drastically, and I'd have won by much, much more.
Right.
So
well,
actually,
Pagio
had the most effect. Because he's
so I gave you the leader A position of the award, and then Spittin' Chiclets coming in with the very close. I think your point totals were very close, but you had the edge. I didn't count the decimal points.
Yeah, okay.
Because I'm lazy.
Yeah.
But my dad picked up what was his name? Drew.
Tyler Ennis,
who played pretty great after he picked him up. So good pickup there. So I don't have a dumb drop of the week. Instead, I have a dumb ad of the week.
Yeah.
And that is Pauly.
Oh, man.
Who picked up a guy who was injured.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, who?
Philip Hronik.
Yeah, I can't even say his name. I don't know.
Defenseman for Detroit.
So picked him up. He had a really great couple games. He was really hot. So Pauly picked him up. It was going to put him in his roster, but as soon as he picked him up, it came out that he was injured. So
did he drop him after that, I guess?
I don't know. I don't know. But I know this because Pauly texted me that it happened. So lesson learned, don't expose yourself to me. I thought that was very funny. So, Pauly, sorry. Love you.
I'm going to give Pauly some props, though. He did have this smart pickup of the week outside of fantasy. Because he did buy Fallen Order, and that's a great game.
Talking about Star Wars video game.
Yep.
What is that, Fallout and Law and Order?
Yeah. Yes. But with a lightsaber.
Okay. I just imagined the Fallout world, but going to court.
Yes.
I feel like those are
exactly
two complete opposite things. You know, like...
Nope, that's it.
In my mind, you said Fallen. I heard Fallen Order, and I was like,
Fall and Order.
Fallout court cases. Hey, he stole my. What is it called? Pip Boy? I don't remember anything. Pip Boy. It's definitely boy.
Oh, I didn't even realize we had some trades in here.
Yeah, there's
trades.
And
then we have some trades.
And
there
was
two trades.
All things that we kind of talked about already, but yeah.
I mean, it was all things we kind of
we also have
about
a name change.
I think we did have a name change.
I mean, that's just Timmy every week, but
that's
I like
Timmy
how it showed up in the trades.
Anyways.
Did we talk about these trades last week?
We definitely talked about Arvidsson Skinner, and I'm pretty sure we talked about Olsen Suter for Ryan Johansson as well.
Yeah, I feel like this is last week's stuff, right?
Yeah, we definitely talked about this last week. Yeah. Mr. Robot Dev, thank you so much. We're just going to...
Did you like Timmy's... Fantasy league name last week, Dev? I don't know if you've seen it, but it was playing Pito's team, and it was always getting Dev punched.
Yeah, am I back or am I a robot?
You're
fine.
Okay,
back.
Yeah, that was my favorite Timmy name so far. I didn't even notice it. Pauly texted me, can you please explain Timmy's name? And I was like,
why don't we explain Timmy's name? So he played our buddy Justin Pito, and now Pito has this knack of every time that we play a game of hockey.
He's an instigator.
He's an instigator. However, the guy that always gets hit is Dev.
It's because I'm always his D partner, and I'm usually standing right next to him while he's talking crap to people who are 12 times his size, and then they punch me.
Yes. All right.
One time it was a little kid.
I do remember that. That's
incredible. Like, he was like 12, and then he went up to the stands with his mom afterwards, after he got kicked out.
Oh, yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, he really got me good.
Yeah. Anyways, I think that does it for Fantasy Week in Review. It's time to move on to Drew's Picks of the Week.
Fantasy Week in Review is now over. Thank you for coming.
Anyways, it's time for Drew's Picks of the Week.
Drew's Picks of the Week. Know that he listens.
brought to you. Brought to you by the new book about Dude. Come on.
Nobody cares.
Brought to you by the new book about doodads, thingamajigs, and doohickeys. It's Whatchamacallit by Thingamabob. Yep. Anyways,
I like Dev's intro
Drew's
better.
Drew's Picks of the Week, otherwise known as the segment where Drew tells a joke.
Thanks, Dev. I think we've got enough of the singing. I think you've made your point.
I think we need to have more drops instead of me singing high pitch.
I'd really appreciate it if we got more drops instead of you singing high pitch.
And a soundboard.
Okay.
And a soundboard.
Yeah, we gotta go through this really fast, if you don't mind. We had a rough week last week. That's not it.
Sorry, I'll stop. I'm sorry.
My picks were 0-3. So now 3-6 on the running. Joey's parlay was also 0-3, so he's 1-1.
Wait, Drew, what's your record?
3-6. 3-6, I should say, not 3.
Is that
six.
What Doc says?
Yes. Yes, because I fixed it. Joe's record is now 1-1 on his parlays. He's got a running total of $175 to the positive. Dalt's lock of the week, surprise, surprise, lost because he picked the Flyers against Ottawa. So he's 1-1.
Will you guys be issuing refunds?
No. Better beware. Okay. So my picks this week all come from the 23rd, which I believe is Saturday. It is Saturday. I've got the Coyotes on the road in LA. I've got the Blues.
The what? The what?
The Blues.
I didn't know if you meant the Bruins or.
Nah, I don't. Listen, I've had them. I'm having.
Have you had some brewskis? Is that why you can't speak?
No, I'm having a stroke. The Blues at home against the Predators.
Can you please clarify? Are you saying the Blues?
Yes.
Okay, all right. The Blues.
The St. Louis Blues at home against the Predators.
That's why you can't talk. It's Blues.
And then the Islanders. And then the Islanders on the road against the Sharks. So, yeah, have fun with that. Joey's Parlay of the Week almost didn't happen, but we got it in. So for Wednesday the 20th, today if you're listening, as the day it comes out, it's only two games, and he's got both games picked. He's got the Capitals at the Rangers, and he's got the Canadiens at home against Ottawa, and he's saying to put $100 down. He's saying it's a lock, let's do it. Put $100 down on those Caps Canadians with his running total. Let's see what happens. And Dalt's lock of the week is also tomorrow, today. It's the Capitals. It's the Capitals against the Rangers. No communication between the two of them.
Put
obviously.
Some money down on the Rangers.
I'm just glad he stayed away from Ottawa this week.
I wanted him to bet against Ottawa.
You just wanted that so you could bet for Ottawa.
Exactly. Would that not be smart?
I mean, if Dalt's betting against Ottawa, 100%. I'm pretty sure Dalt's.
I mean, I think
Ottawa
Joey has a pretty
like
good record, but you and Dalt are really not doing well.
I mean, Dalt's 1-1. His first. I mean, to be
yeah,
fair,
but he lost.
His first one was Boston against Ottawa, and he won that one, and then it was.
Well, what have you done for me lately? And he's lost. So.
Well.
He doesn't have good receivers.
I wonder who else doesn't have good receivers.
He's got the same guy he had in 2017. I don't know what you're talking about. It's the same guy he was in 2017.
Okay.
But he actually isn't. So, yeah.
Well, technically speaking, he is the same guy.
But... Yeah, so, if for whatever reason Nelson Aguilar is out there listening to this...
We hate you.
We hate you.
Turn it off. Go away.
Please, please do something about cheating. Just put stick 'em on your gloves, because the stickiest gloves in the world can't help you as it is now. So do something more.
My advice, change careers, but not to a firefighter, because you might have to catch kids out of a building, burning building, which we know you can't do.
The other thing I'd appreciate it if you stopped doing is trying to fake an injury after you drop a ball.
Oh, that was amazing.
That was, like, some of the most Bush League thing. Oh, great. Now Mason Rudolph. that you could do. Yeah. You guys don't know who Mason Rudolph is.
You know what? You know what? Nelson, why don't you swing your helmets at some people that... Make yourself useful.
Yeah, you know, just get suspended indefinitely so we don't have to worry about you anymore. So, yeah. This has been a mess today, boys. It's been a mess. I've been flustered.
Did we start yet?
Dev, not
we're
only
just
did
warming
we start,
up, right?
Not only did we start, we're wrapping up now.
I thought this was the banter, pre-show banter.
I tell you what, if that was the pre-show banter, I don't want to know what the show would be.
I thought this week we were talking about what skates the Flyers should use. What brand?
Why would you think
what?
That? Why would you think that?
I thought that was on the docket, you know?
There is no way that you just added that in.
Did we talk about Frost?
We did.
I don't remember
this. It was the first thing we talked about, because Dev was like, well, there's a Frost on the forecast.
What kind of skates is he wearing tonight? Let's find
CCM.
Out.
CCM.
Is that his brand? I don't know.
What does it matter what skates he's wearing? Kush, whatever happened to your gloves while we're talking about hockey equipment? Whatever happened to your STX?
You never got them.
You had to, yeah, you had to bring this up. Come on, man.
I did have to bring it
up.
I was in a
good mood, and now you just ruined it.
Yeah.
They said, here's a coupon.
They gave you a coupon?
Thanks.
I had one.
And
it didn't work.
And they said, we've refunded your money. And he said, what? Where are my gloves? And they're like, here's a shirt. He's like, I don't want the shirt. And they said, well, you can return the shirt. And he's like, okay, but what about the gloves? And they said, no.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
That's actually pretty accurate.
Why do you remember that better than, like, half the stuff we're supposed to talk about?
Because it was on Twitter.
So what you're saying is I need to just DM you on Twitter with the Google Doc.
Don't DM
everything?
Me. I don't look at my DMs.
No one reads DMs, sure. Come on.
All right.
Don't slide into my DMs.
You have to tweet it, okay?
No, you're wrong, because you know who does read DMs if we ever were to get one? We would on our hockey podcast Twitter.
Would we?
Yeah.
Do we?
You might.
Who follows us? I don't think so. I think we just talk to each other and record it and we put it out on the internet.
I mean, somebody's got to listen to this. We have 34 listens, and it's not all me.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I only listened to it, like, 4 times.
Sometimes I go back and listen just to see how stupid I sound.
Is that why you turn
I used
so
to do that, but then I stopped because I just realized I don't care.
Yeah,
I did listen back last week just because I was real robot-y, and there was a point where I heard Drew get really stuck. He couldn't finish his thought, and I had to go back and listen to see what I sounded like, and I was dying. Because it's like, burr, burr. But I can't hear that, so.
Anyway, I think we're done, boys. I think we're done. I think it's time to say, if you have any questions, comments, you send us a tweet at @wiz_wit_hockey. You can also send us an email at wizwithhockey@gmail.com. You can follow myself on Twitter @TheBigDrew92. You can follow Devin @DevinS93. You can follow Ryan @SauceBoyKush. I've been Drew. He's been Devin.
Today I learned that the best way to fix overtime is by adding a second puck.
He's been Ryan.
I don't even have a closing segment because I'm mad now, and it's your fault, Drew.
All right. Well, on that note, bye.